Hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel with you. Big thanks to Aaron Hogan for hanging out for a little bit. That was unintentional. He Hogan just popping in to check something. Yeah. I don't know if he's checking something on the Twitter machine or on email or whatever. But figured, hey, come to the studio, hang out for a second, and talk some football. And while he was with us, the news broke that Isaiah Nayer, the Wyoming wide receiver transfer, 44 catches, almost 900 yards, 12 touchdowns last year for the Cowboys, committed to Tennessee. No longer. He is headed to the University of Texas. Big get for Brennan Marion and the Texas staff. We'll talk a little Texas basketball coming up. We're going to elongate the Longhorn Notebook a little bit, which is why this kind of inside baseball, this segment at the top will be a little bit shorter, because I want to have more time for the Longhorn Notebook, because there are a few things that I want to and need to hit on. But real quick, I miss this. If this were Shirts and Skins coming up noon to 3, Chad and Trey, this would be a great crap bag segment, but we don't really have a crap bag segment like that.
Just think of a bag of that crap. Nature.
Think of a bag of crap. We don't have a crap bag segment on the show. Inconceivables is as close as we get, but this doesn't really fit inconceivable, so I'm going to do it here for no other reason than I just kind of want to. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a big pro wrestling fan. It's the 30th anniversary of what a lot of people, myself included, consider the greatest Royal Rumble match of all time. Royal Rumble's coming up at the end of the month, and there's been some great Rumbles over the years. 2001 is one of my favorites. But 1992 is considered the greatest Royal Rumble match of all time when you just look at the star power in that match, right? Hulk Hogan's in it, Randy Savage is in it, The Undertaker, Roddy Piper, Jake Roberts, Ted DiBiase. Ric Flair won the whole thing. And you got to put this in context at the time. Ric Flair was in WCW, had a contract dispute with them while he was still the World Heavyweight Champion. Now, this is, they had made the transition from the traditional NWA championship, the 10 pounds of gold, that belt that everybody from Jack Briscoe to Dory Funk to Dusty Rhodes to Ric Flair had worn that belt. And I believe Triple H is in possession of that belt right now. Snoop, you know, the new version of it, but I've had my picture taken with the NWA 10 pounds of gold heavyweight championship. Yeah. I actually called a wrestling match once upon a time with Stu Myrick and Justin Simmons, our good friends from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Called a match with them one time. No title was on the line, but Keith Lee was at that. It was down in Buda. Keith Lee was on that card. Shane Taylor, Tim Storm. Oh yeah, dude. Go to watch wrestling live, even if you don't like it. Like, you go watch it live. It's awesome. Anyway, so they make the transition from the 10 pounds of gold to the big gold belt. If you're a WCW fan back in the day, that's the one Hulk Hogan spray painted NWO on, the big gold belt, custom made for Ric Flair. But he takes it on to WWF TV, which was unheard of at the time. And the belt was vacated. So for the first time ever, the winner of the Royal Rumble was going to be the WWF champion. And in the case of Ric Flair, he was going to win the belt that would make him the true legitimate World Heavyweight Champion. Well, there's a lot of great Ric Flair promos out there, you know, talking about alligator shoes and spilt liquor and style and profile and the whole deal. This is my favorite Ric Flair promo interview ever. I love this one. It's great nostalgia. That Royal Rumble match, it sums up my youth watching pro wrestling in a nutshell with all the characters that are in this match. The voices you'll hear, the first voice you'll hear, it's sad to think too, Snoop, that all the gentlemen in this clip that we're about to hear, Ric Flair's the only one still alive. Mean Gene Okerlund, who's the first voice you'll hear, has passed on, as has Jack Tunney, who was the kayfabe president of the WWF. Jack Tunney's no longer with us. You'll hear Ric Flair. Then you'll hear the late Bobby the Brain Heenan, followed by the late Curt Hennig, and then back to Ric Flair.
Curt Hennig.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
What a great gimmick that was. You remember those vignettes back in the day, Snoop, where he'd like, you know, throw the half-court shot behind his head and make it in like the behind-the-back pull shot in the corner pocket? Love me. I always try to do that thing Mr. Perfect did where he'd spit his gum out and hit it.
Yes.
Yeah, can't really. You got to time that just right.
I had the toy.
I
had the ring and everything. I was probably a little too old to be playing with toys.
Yeah, that's all right.
I was old.
You do you, Snoop.
Okay, I loved it. It was lit.
What, were you like 13, 14 doing that?
Yeah, 13.
Who cares? 13. Like I said, all your transgressions, mishaps when you were a youth, you made up for it later. Yes. So You're good. But no, this, just want to get this out of the way. This is my favorite Ric Flair promo. Yesterday was the 30-year mark since this happened. This is Ric Flair right after winning the 1992 Royal Rumble.
All right, by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand new World Wrestling Federation champion as the press watches on. At this time, to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt, to proclaim me the real world champion, I'm going to tell you all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWE. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, the brain.
Woo! Woo!
We did it!
Woo! Let's give a big one! Woo! You did it! I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
Bobby,
you can call now, the real world's heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we... told you so.
Wait, okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world... Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogans and the Macho Mans and the Pipers and the Sids, now it's Ric Flair. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo! I love it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Two things I love about that clip is the obviously the tear in my eye part. Just beautiful. Love that. It's my, and gosh, that's one of those Ric Flairisms. You walk around and you tell everybody you're number one. The only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. Gotta love that. And then Mean Gene Okerlund catches somebody smoking a cigarette. Tell him, put that cigarette out. Oh, that's so good.
He's like, stop tripping. Put that cigarette out.
All right, so Stu Myrick, in this case, he suplexed Stu. Stu Myrick has a lot of wears a lot of hats here at the Horn. He sidelines Stu, doing Lake Travis football. With Bucky Godbolt and Mark Honig. He's also Super Bowl Stu at times, where he'll go down to do the Super Bowl and cover that for the station. And in this case, he's Suplex Stu. Suplex Stu saying the big gold belt, that big gold belt that Ric Flair had, apparently that's now in the possession of Conrad Thompson, podcast host extraordinaire, and Ric Flair's son-in-law. So apparently Conrad Thompson has the big gold belt. And look... Okay, thank you for kidding, Texter. Said, wrestling, I thought this was a sports station. I'm kidding. Can I just say this kind of go? This isn't really inside baseball. This is more just kind of my opinion. I feel like if we just did, like, trying to do hard-hitting sports talk all day, that would be, like, the most boring thing ever. So I want to mix in a little pro wrestling or whatever every now and then. You good with that, Snoop?
I love it.
Yeah. So, the 1992 Royal Rumble. If you get a chance, I don't know if you can YouTube that thing.
Who was the last person in the – do you remember that? Was the last person in the ring besides Ric Flair? Who went out early? Do you remember all that? Like,
if I remember
right – oh, my God,
right,
he got knocked out early.
If I remember right, so your final four in the match, I want to say, were Macho Man, Sid, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair. I think Macho Man gets dumped out. And then Sid eliminates Hogan. Hogan comes back and elite, or Hogan grabs Sid's arm. Flair dumps him over, and then that's how Flair won the match.
It was just so late.
The best thing about the match itself, dude, Bobby the Brain Heenan on commentary. You know Bobby Heenan made it into an Eminem song, Snoop?
Which one?
Godzilla. Like the first probably 30 seconds of that song. Go listen to it during the break. Bobby the Brain Heenan makes an appearance in that song. All right, I do want to talk about, I want to get your take on this, Snoop. Baseball Hall of Fame. We're coming up on, when is the announcement? The announcement's coming up, I think, next Tuesday, I think, or on, was it the 25th, I think. Let me look at my days. Yeah, I do. I think it's next Tuesday. We're coming up on Baseball Hall of Fame time, and there's a lot of really good sites out there that track. It'll give you kind of percentages of where guys are, where guys stand in terms of ballots that have been made public, either by the writers themselves or have done so anonymously, and just looking at, you know, who could be in, who could be out. I'm looking at a Hall of Fame ballot tracker right now, and I want you to tell me, Snoop, if any of this surprises you. So public ballots right now, this is on at not Mr. Tibbs, T-I-B-B-S, on Twitter. OneDrive.live.com is what I'm looking at right now. It says public ballots 162 plus 10 anonymous ballot, I guess those who cast ballots that didn't want to be known. So percent of known ballots that are in, that are going into this study, or this data, is 49.3, so less than half the ballots. You tell me if any of this surprises you, Snoop. Okay? As of right now, these 43, according to this tracking site I'm looking at, and this was last updated, I think, today, 49.3% of the ballots, and Barry Bonds is at 77.3%.
What do you need to get in?
You need 75 to get in. Roger Clemens, and this is the last year both those guys can be on the ballot before it goes to the Veterans Committee. Roger Clemens, 76.2%. This one surprises me that it's this high. David Ortiz, 83.7%.
You're surprised it's high?
Well, we talk about guys that suspicions of PED use, like Poppy's in that conversation. And the fact that I think it's going to be really close for him. Bonds and Clemens, that if you're hoping though either of those guys or both those guys get in, the fact that they're right on the cut line, pretty much with less than half the ballots known, that's got to make you a little bit nervous. Any of that jump out to you, Snoop? Good, bad, or indifferent? With Bonds, Clemens, and Poppy.
I think I'm not surprised about Poppy because he's such a cultural icon.
This is our blinking city.
Probably. And then the postseason success and all of that stuff.
And he's Big Poppy.
Doesn't quite have the stigma in the court of public opinion that Bonds and Clemens have when it comes to all
it's
this stuff.
It's called Hall of Fame. If you went to the Barton Creek Mall and Big Poppy was like walking out of the Apple Store, you'd be like, oh my God, it's Big Poppy.
guys that are probably going to drop off the ballot, Snoop, I don't know if any of these guys, what they mean to you as a baseball fan. Ryan Howard, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Tim Lincecum, Joe Nathan, Jonathan Papelbon, Mark Teixeira.
All those names
are probably
going
to drop off the ballot after
Tim
this
Lincecum was so good. You want to talk about, you know, I guess like culturally, like his little flip-haired children love Tim Lincecum. All those names that you just said were I guess Ryan Howard fizzled out towards the end, but so did Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins.
Man, Mark Teixeira doesn't get enough love.
No, he don't.
He really doesn't.
One of the great switch hitter, like, and I, you know, Braves, Rangers, whatever. I can Yankees for a little bit.
Thank you, White Rabbits Guru, on the Spectre text line 337-3776 for reminding us. Big Poppy took a bullet for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if that goes into the consciousness of people voting. Remember that deal where he got shot a year or two ago, whenever that was?
What?
You know, Big Poppy got shot.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Throw that in the Google machine if you need to look at it. It's also the last year on the ballot for Sammy Sosa and and Curt Schilling. And neither one of those guys are going to get in. Sosa right now, again, this is with 44% of the ballots in, according to the tracking site I'm looking at. Sosa at 25%, Schilling at 60%. Man, the Schilling thing I don't understand, because I really think his political opinions is all that's hurting him here. Man, this is how I view the Hall of Fame, Snoop, and you tell me if I'm wrong. If you've got the numbers to back up your candidacy, it's really twofold for me. Well, three. There's three prongs to this. One, were you one of the more dominant players in your era? That's number one. Number two, do you have the numbers to legitimize your candidacy? And three, can you tell the story? How is the story of baseball in your era that you played told, with or without you in it? If you look at baseball at that time, man, you can't tell the story of Major League Baseball without the Curt Schilling bloody sock game. And I'm not saying that's all his postseason success was boils down to, because he did help the Diamondbacks win a World Series as part of that rotation with Randy Johnson, which, by the way, Greg Swindell won a championship as part of those Diamondbacks teams. Shout out to Zeke if he's listening. But that's what it's got to be, right? I can't think of – unless I'm just completely overblowing in my mind like what Curt Schilling is and who he was, it's got to be the political stuff, right? People just don't jive with his political opinions. And I don't want to turn this into a political discussion. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with Curt Schilling. That's not the point. I just don't think that should be held against him in the court of public opinion if it's just the political stuff, because you've got guys in the Baseball Hall of Fame that have done and said equal or worse than what Curt Schilling has said and done. I think it should just be about what you did on the field. But I don't – it doesn't matter one way or the other, because Curt Schilling's not getting it. Scott Rowland's the guy that's going to be close. Snoop, he's at 69.2%.
I love these names.
Billy Wagner, 47.7%. Doesn't look like he's getting in. Doesn't look like Jeff Kent's going to get in either.
Yeah, Caden Kent, his son, goes to Lake Travis.
Isn't he in Texas A&M?
He's a senior this year.
Okay. Jeff Kent, 30.8%. See, that's another one. Like, Jeff Kent, unless I'm missing something, Jeff Kent was clean when he played, right? And was one of the better defensive second basemen of his generation, of his era, won an MVP. I feel like Jeff Kent should be getting more love. Andrew Jones, 48.8%. Dude, Snoop, you talk about just naturally gifted ball players, man. Andrew Jones is one of those guys.
Such a plain name, but I saw him in my head immediately.
Got the weird spelling, too.
Yes.
D-R-U-W.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Dunstan thinks that's a little clunky. Dunstan. Todd Helton, 56.4%. But those are the big ones, right? Poppy, Bonds, and Clemens. It looks like, and CBS Sports did a breakdown on this, it looks like Poppy is going to get in, but barely. And it looks like Bonds and Clemens are going to miss. It's gonna be very, very close for those two guys. It's trending like Poppy's going to get in on the first ballot. Well, this is it for Bonds and Clemens, and then it goes to the Veterans Committee. I don't know, man. Baseball, it's such a weird deal where you can have a Hall of Fame, and depending on the way this ballot goes, you could have your all-time hits leader, your all-time home run leader, and a 7-time Cy Young winner. None of them are in the Hall of Fame. Oh, it's just weird. I wanted to kind of talk about this when Craig was back, because I know Craig's a seam head. He'll have opinions on this, but I didn't want to get some Baseball Hall of Fame talk going, because that is coming up. That is upon us, those elections. Curt Schilling. So Schilling's high watermark in for voting was 71.1% last cycle.
Pretty close.
But again, he said some things that haven't jived with people, and that seems to be knocking him down.
Like what?
Just throw it in the Google machine. We don't have time to. Don't have the time or the bandwidth or the airspace to get into it here. Todd Helton's gaining, Andrew Jones is gaining, and so is Billy Wagner. I forgot, A-Rod's at about 41% right now. He's not going to get in on this ballot. David Ortiz, though, looks like Poppy. This could be a one Hall of Fame. You've got some guys, Buck O'Neill, Jim Cott, going in that were Veterans Committee selections, but it looks like in terms of the traditional ballot, it could be just Poppy. Take questions if you got them, Baseball Hall of Fame, question, comments, whatever. We'll take those, but we'll get back to talking Texas football and a little Texas basketball coming up next on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Wagner Wire.
Every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to noon.
Light the Tower with Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel.
All right, back here for hour number two on a Thursday edition of Light the Tower. On the Horn, Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. Just to reiterate, Craig not with us today. The plan is for Craig to be back tomorrow. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure if Craig is going to host Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard tonight. I know he's hoping to get there. Could be Craig, could be Roger Wallace. I don't know. You can still hear Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard here tonight on the Horn at 7 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, you get the right call with Isaiah Collier. I wonder if Zay's going to throw you under the bus again tonight, Snoop,
again.
For your hot opinions, your hot sports opinions on Tristan Lacone needing to get more.
I always feel like I have to, because everybody here at the Horn really does, like, they work on their craft. I mean, y'all are well read. You know, you follow analytics and numbers. And me, I'm more like out of my gut. So I'm like, I like Tristan Lacone, but then Zay's like, nah, fam. Defensively speaking.
Zay was not happy with you when I got into the building today. Like, he was, Zay was beyond half hot. He was all the way hot.
Well, apparently, Lacone is giving it up a little too much on the defensive side.
Yeah, I mean,
that's something that I haven't really noticed.
If you're gonna play critical minutes, he's only on the floor for 3 minutes in that K-State game. But if you're gonna play critical minutes, you better be a defensive stopper. You better be just like a Doberman out there in man-to-man defense, and that was not the case with Lacone the other night. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. So just to wrap up the Baseball Hall of Fame conversation we were having, I mentioned somebody asked about Will Clark. Is Will Clark on this ballot? No. Will Clark has appeared in the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Will Clark, by the way, Snoop, former Ranger, great.
Love Will Clark. Had his Topps rookie card with the brown wooden edges, 1987.
The 87, yeah. Yep. You know what a set I'm on the hunt for, by the way? 86 Topps traded. Want to give me one of those sets.
Topps traded. So the traded is the updated set, yep. Correct? Yes,
now
Topps
just calls that update now. Mm-hmm. I guess traded carried a negative connotation. But that's the 86 Topps traded is Will Clark. Bonds is in that.
Oh, man, that was the rare.
Bo Jackson's in that. I've got a Bo Jackson graded copy of that 86 Topps traded. That's actually one thing that helped me get back into the hobby. My brother, long story short, bought a mystery box on one of those auction sites that had a bunch of cards in it, and you were promised one graded card, and it was a PSA 8 of the 86 Bo Jackson Topps traded. And he's like, here, I'm not going to do anything with this. And so I was like, man, you know. And so since I've gotten PSA graded copies, I wanted all of them 8s because I want them all the same grade because I'm weird like that. I've got the 86 Topps traded Bo Jackson.
Where he's in his white Royals jersey, just straight for just a straight,
like
shot.
Like your media guide shot. Mm-hmm. Got his 88 Topps football rookie with the super rookie on it. And then I got a graded copy of that 90 score baseball card with the shoulder pads and the bat over his shoulder.
Yes. Iconic.
So anyway, 86 to Will Clark, 86 Topps traded was his. I don't know. Some people don't consider that the true rookie, but I like it because it was the first card, whatever. But that's a really good. Bonds is in that, too. I don't know if I mentioned that. But Will Clark fell off the ballot after the first year. This is the last year. Somebody asked, Gambling Fanatic, I apologize if you didn't ask, but I thought I saw you ask. Yes, this is the last year on the ballot for Kirk Schilling. He's one of four that this is their last year on the ballot. It's Schilling, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, those four guys, it's their last year on the ballot. Next year will be Jeff Kent's last year. This is his ninth year. So the 10th year now is they kick you off after that if you don't make it in, and then it goes to the Veterans Committee. He's the only one. Well, Jeff Kent next year would be the only guy going into year 10 next year. Gary Sheffield. I mean, Gary Sheffield's a guy that doesn't get as much love as he should. 500 home runs. He admitted, you know, he got implicated in the Balco stuff, but admitted that he used – I think it was the cream that he used after it was the one season after he had a knee operation, called it the worst year of his career. But I actually had a good conversation with our good buddy Walt over at Card Traders of Austin about this yesterday because we're talking about Sheffield. Probably because some of his better years were played with small market teams, with the Brewers and then with the Marlins. And then he had some good years with the Dodgers, but then by the time he got to the Yankees, he was kind of a shell of what he once was. At that point. So even though he had a couple of good years with the Yankees, Gary Sheffield's a guy that I think should get more Hall of Fame love. But no, that's kind of a rundown of the ballot. Real quick on Kurt Schilling, though. I'd forgotten about this. So this is an addition. I pulled this article up from CBS Sports. This was in July of last year. Kurt Schilling, he's obviously implicated himself with some, as CBS Sports put it, incendiary rhetoric, including social media posts about, you ready for the Snoop? Nazis, Islamophobia, and lynching journalists, as well as making uncomfortable comments about children. Schilling was also fired from his job as an analyst at ESPN after sharing an anti-transgender meme. So you don't have to throw that in your Google machine. I just gave you all that stuff right there about why some people don't like Kurt Schilling. But last year in the voting, he got 71.1%, so you figure he was trending up. And I'm like, well, what's the disconnect? I'd totally forgotten about this. Last summer, Kurt Schilling sent a request into the Baseball Writers Association of America to be removed from the ballot this year. The request was denied, and this was his statement on social media after he fell short last year. Quote, I will not participate in the final year of voting. I am requesting to be removed from the ballot. I'll defer to the Veterans Committee and men whose opinions actually matter and who are in a position to actually judge a player. I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer, as I've stated, but if former players think I am, then I'll accept that with honor. So that's why nobody's voting for Curt Schilling, because he told people not to vote for him and didn't even want to be on the ballot.
Fault. You don't tell people don't vote for me, then.
Oh, man. Golf lingo reminded me. I mentioned Canseco. Wally Joyner's in that 86 top traded set. So is Kevin Mitchell.
Oh, barehanded catch, Kevin Mitchell.
My brother Bobby shares the story with me a lot. He invested quite a bit in Kevin Mitchell rookie cards back in the day, and that's kind of like my Darius Miles investment once upon a time. Snoop. If you saw that on Twitch, you should love Snoop for that right now.
I immediately busted out with
Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was good days, man.
All right, let's go ahead and get to the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
I could actually continue talking baseball cards and Baseball Hall of Fame, but let's talk a little Longhorn sports. Let's talk a little Longhorn football right now. The news that broke, a couple pieces of breaking news that happened in hour number one. We talked a lot of Gary Patterson on the show yesterday, so we won't belabor that point. But Gary Patterson is in the Texas staff directory right now. He's been with on the 40 in the football offices for about the last week, in his role as special assistant to the head coach, to Steve Sarkisian. So Gary Patterson's been in the football offices. It's just as official as it can be now that he's actually in the staff directory. Isaiah Nayer, the wide receiver transfer from Wyoming, originally out of Arlington Lamar, committed to Tennessee after hitting the portal. He is now headed to Texas. The Tennessee student directory showed that today he left school, or I guess withdrew and didn't complete the process or whatever the case that was. He's now headed to Texas. I cannot state enough how big of an add this is for Texas. We talked a lot about receiver all through last offseason, last season. We talked about it on this show ad nauseum, just the need to have another playmaker to go with Xavier Worthy. I'm really intrigued. Aaron Hogan brought this up because Hogan hung out with us for a minute or two in the first hour. I'm really intrigued by Brennan Marion. We know Brennan Marion can recruit, and he's everything I've heard about Brennan Marion. He's great with relation in terms of developing relationships, development, eye for talent's a position. One of the better young receivers coaches in the country, and I think getting Isaiah Nayer, prying him away from Tennessee, proves that part of it. But what I'm really intrigued for with this Texas team here in 2022 and adding Brennan Marion to the staff is what he can help Steve Sarkisian do with this offense. And if you look at, I won't go into the whole detail, number one, because I don't have it in front of me. Number two, I don't want to steal Rod Baber's thunder talking about Brennan Marion's go-go offense. But if you look at what he did during his time at Howard and Hawaii, what the go-go essentially was, it's utilizing two tailback personnel with like some old school just veered triple option concepts. And you can basically, what Brennan Marion has said is, you can basically run any play ever in football with this go-go offense. And it's about utilizing two tailbacks. And if you look at Steve Sarkisian's time as an offensive coordinator, Sark has had workhorse backs throughout his career as a play caller, as an offensive coordinator, and a head coach. Go back to his time initially at USC. He was on the staff with, obviously, Lindell White was there, Reggie Bush was there. And then he goes to Washington, Bishop Sankey, Chris Polk, USC, Buck Allen was a thousand yard back. Then he goes to Alabama. He's got Najee Harris as his workhorse back. So Sark has had a pretty extensive history with 1,000-yard backs and having a workhorse back. And he had that with Bijan Robinson this past season. But what he doesn't have a ton of experience doing is a lot of extensive stuff with two tailbacks. He dabbled in it a little bit at Washington with Chris Polk and Bishop Sankey. Didn't really need to do it at Alabama because you had so many weapons on that offense and you had Najee Harris, who was, again, your workhorse. So you didn't really need to do a whole lot of two tailback stuff. He did it a little bit with the Falcons. Keep in mind, when he went to the Falcons, he took over for Kyle Shanahan. And we know Kyle Shanahan loves 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end. And Shanahan does it a little differently because he is one of the few coaches in the league that uses a fullback extensively. Snoop, can you think of a better fullback in pro football right now than Kyle Juszczyk? Even though he probably does, he ain't Darryl Johnston, he ain't Lorenzo Neal. He's a very different fullback. But he's a fullback. I just want to give Moose some love anytime I can, that being the diehard Cowboys fan that I am.
Yousef, I would, when I play DraftKings, I would roster him as
you,
a fullback.
You get Juszczyk.
Yep.
So Kyle Shanahan does a little differently, but Sark, not wanting to reinvent the wheel when he got to Atlanta, did some two tailback stuff with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And kind of as his tenure in Atlanta went on, they kind of got away from him. But doesn't have a great deal, a great, an
that
extensive
was a great dual back.
Yeah, doesn't have an extensive background using two tailbacks. Brendan Marion does. And when you look at the versatility Texas has at running back, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Xavier Worthy included, Bijan Robinson probably has the best hands on the team. Out of any skill position player at Texas right now, Bijan Robinson probably has the best hands. You can use him in so many different ways and really, truly weaponize him. And we know Roschon Johnson is good enough to be a starter at a lot of other places, and probably it wouldn't kill you if he had a bigger role in this offense. Then you've got the need to get Keelan Robinson on the field. I just don't think Keelan Robinson has that kind of skill set like we've seen with some guys at Texas, like a DeJay Johnson or a Marquise Goodwin, where you can serve multiple roles. Keelan Robinson, probably more of a DJ Monroe type guy, where you want stuff for him where it is one cut and go. He's a straight line guy. Get the ball in his hands as seamlessly as possible and just let him go to work. That, to me, is more Keelan Robinson's role. But if Brendan Marion can infuse some of these go-go principles in Sark's offense, you can have two tailbacks on the field. Like I said last hour, hell, you can have three tailbacks on the field. That's why getting Isaiah Neyor is so critical. Sark's not going to have a deep wide receiver rotation anyway, but now with Xavier Worthy, with Isaiah Neyor, and if you've got a healthy Jordan Whittington, well, you better step your game up if you want to crack this receiver rotation. And it's, I said this last spring about some of these guys, but it really is now or never probably for Marcus Washington and Kelvonte Dixon. Man, even some of those younger guys in the program, like Troy O'Meary, it might be now or never for Troy O'Meary. Or a young cat like a Jaden Alexis or a Casey Kane. Because you got Brennan Thompson coming in here who fits the type of vertical game-breaking ability that Steve Sarkisian wants in a wide receiver. You got him coming in this summer. There's not going to be a lot of room. If you're 7 or 8 on the depth chart, not going to be a lot of playing time for you, as we saw last year. So I really like this move with Texas adding a receiver, and if Brendan Marion can infuse those go-go principles into this offense and get Sark to really utilize more two tailback personnel, it could really expand and open things up for Texas and make them infinitely harder to defend. I want to focus on the other side of the ball real quick. You know what? I think at this point we'll just save this for tomorrow because I really want to get into this. Alfred Collins did an interview with the Austin American-Statesman and talked about the need to improve. And I pulled up some Texas defensive line numbers. Let's use this as kind of a tease for tomorrow because it is a Friday show. We've got our interview with Vic Schaefer. We'll have Mike Roach on to kind of recap the week and look ahead at Junior Day. We'll get into Isaiah Neyor. We'll get into transfers. We'll also, again, talk about the Junior Day coming up with a really talented class, a 2023 class that Sark and company are going to get in front of them this weekend. But, you know, I saw the Alfred Collins interview. I read through it, made some notes, and I pulled up some defensive line numbers. And, Snoop, you remember how one of my notebooks earlier this week I was talking about how the Football Outsiders offensive line metrics for the Texas offensive line, it mirrored the Cowboys, and that if you just look at the numbers, like if you didn't watch them all year and you just look at the metrics, you'd say, wow, they were a really good offensive line. I mean, Texas top 20 in multiple offensive line metrics, according to Football Outsiders. I think Pro Football Focus graded the Cowboys offensive line in the regular season as the number one offensive line in the NFL. But if you watch the eye test, very different, especially when they went up against elite defensive lines, the top-tier defensive lines on the schedule, they really struggled. Well, this is a case where we're talking about the Texas defensive line. The Football Outsiders metrics, they jibe with the eye test that the Texas defense, the defensive line specifically, was terrible in 2021. So we'll look at that tomorrow again because I really want to get into it. So there's your tease for tomorrow. We'll be talking Alfred Collins and the Texas defensive line in the second Longhorn Notebook tomorrow after we talk all things recruiting with Mike Roach in hour number one. We'll take a break, come back, close out this edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The High Ground, Snoop Daniel, Light the Tower.
Closing out a Thursday edition of Light the Tower, Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. Hopefully we've got Craig back with us tomorrow. Either way, we're scheduled to talk to Texas women's basketball coach Vic Schaefer. Huge win for the Longhorns last night on the road in Ames over number 7 Iowa State, 66-48. Texas gets the dub. Coach Schaefer normally joins us at 10:10 on Thursdays, but because Craig is out, we move that to Friday. Again, hopefully, I'm hoping everybody gets a Craig Way fix tonight on Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard here, 7 o'clock on the horn right after RBKD, leading into the right call with Isaiah Collier at 8 o'clock. But if not, hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll get Craig back tomorrow. And Craig is planning tentatively, again, to be ready to call the Texas game on Saturday, 12:30 airtime, 1 o'clock tip, Texas and Oklahoma State on Saturday at the Irwin Center. I did want to mention this before we get out of here. I made sure I make sure I save time for this. This is why I put the Alfred Collins and the Texas D-line talk off till tomorrow, till one of tomorrow's Longhorn Notebooks. A little Texas basketball recruiting update. Our in-house rankings at 24/7 Sports dropped today. Again, these are in-house rankings, so this will impact the composite rankings in a positive manner. But Texas, all their two signees and one verbal commitment all went up in the rankings. Our national basketball recruiting staff, Travis Branham, Brandon Jenkins, Deshaun London, those guys do an outstanding job at 24/7 Sports. They've been out. They were out during the summer at the summer tournaments. They've been to some of the fall or winter tournaments. Dylan Mitchell, the forward out of Monteverde Academy in Florida, a 6'7", uber athlete, has really impressed our national staff. He's now a 24/7 Sports five-star prospect. Jumps up, made one of the biggest rises in the country from number 33 in the previous update. He is now the number 16 overall prospect in the country and a five-star prospect according to both 24/7 Sports and the 24/7 Sports composite. I know that Texas, one of the goals this staff had in this class, and we talked about it with some of the guys they were recruiting, especially kind of perimeter type guys, Anthony Black out of Capel, some of the other guys they recruited, Jordan Walsh, another guy. They really wanted to upgrade length and athleticism in that three-type body. And with Dylan Mitchell at 6'7", 200 pounds, really good rebounder, running jump guy, needs to develop a jump shot, but a guy that can serve, be really, really versatile for Chris Beard and his staff. So that looks like a really good pickup, getting Dylan Mitchell. Arterio Morris, the guard out of Dallas Kimball, he is up one spot to number 17 overall. He maintains his five-star status. And then Rowan Brumbaugh, the point guard out of the state of Massachusetts, former Northwestern commit, decommitted from Northwestern, flipped to Texas. He's up to number 117 overall in the 24/7 Sports in-house rankings, which makes him a four-star prospect. All of those guys, top 100 guys in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. Dylan Mitchell now up to number 14 overall. Arterio Morris at number 19. And then Rowan Brumbaugh at number 80 overall in the country. And Brumbaugh's committed, hasn't signed. Mitchell and Morris are signees. So the first high school recruiting class for Chris Beard, looking pretty good. Mitchell is obviously, especially with Timmy Allen expected to move on after the year with his 1 year at Texas, Mitchell's going to step in and be able to play a role right away. Morris, you figure, could be a one-for-one replacement for Marcus Carr. The thing with Morris, Texas is going to have to pay attention to, and then the staff knows this, he's a guy that could get some of that G League money thrown his way. So, Yen Arterio Morris and then Rowan Brumbaugh, I just don't think you can have enough ball-handling guards in your arsenal. Something Texas doesn't have a lot of right now. But if Texas is looking at a roster next year with Devin Askew, Arterio Morris, and Rowan Brumbaugh, you can upgrade your ball-handling ability at the guard position quite a bit with those two guys.
What I love about college basketball recruiting is there you could potentially get a freshman that could elevate you to a national championship.
For sure, yeah.
That's what really makes it exciting because it's, you know, football a little harder just because the body thing.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, Snoop, I mean, I can count the number of guys on one hand that were, like, ready to, like, physically ready to go as true freshmen. Like, and I think it's become different in recent years, I'll say that. Even at quarterback to an extent, because these guys, they do so much 7-on-7. It's so specialized. High school offenses are so sophisticated. I'm really glad now that we're seeing guys like Joey McGuire, the former Cedar Hill head coach, Drew Svoboda, was a really good coach at Klein Collins, who's now on Nick Saban's staff at Alabama. I'm really glad we're seeing high school football coaches in the state. Gets Chad Morris, obviously, get some love because, Snoop, you've been in enough coaches' offices and around enough programs to know, like, high school offenses now are pretty dang sophisticated. And there's, in terms of football IQ and schematics, there's not near as big of a jump now going from high school to college as there used to be. And plus, you've got the ability to enroll early. There's a lot of advantages. But, like, guys that were ready to roll, it's special cats in football. Like, Adrian Peterson physically was ready to go right out of the gate at Oklahoma. is the one that jumps to me off the top of my head. A guy that you probably wouldn't think would fit that mold, but a guy that was, in terms of his ability to just play ball and his instincts, and I think we see that now since he's one of the best safeties in the NFL, Quandre Diggs was a guy I had no reservations about him coming to Texas and being able to play a significant role early on because he was a different cat. It's a little bit easier to do that in the secondary, and running back's one of those positions where you can do it. But to your point, it's much more of an instant, I don't know what the term I'm looking for is.
Impact.
Yeah, thank you. Gosh, why can I not think of the freaking word impact? Thank you, Snoop, for saving my ass on the air. My verbal diarrhea at that point. It's more of an instant impact quality for some basketball freshmen than football freshmen.
I mean, look at KD.
Most of those basketball guys play at a high level anyway with all the AAU games, select games, and you got national tournaments. Those guys, the competition isn't a huge shock to the system like it is. In some cases it is. We've seen that a little bit. But for some guys, no, they don't really flinch. The elite guys anyway, they tend to not flinch. But there's a little Texas basketball recruiting update for you. Snoop, what you got going on the rest of the day?
Today, I think I'm just chilling. I can't believe it. I think I'm just chilling.
It's going to be in the 30s and 40s all day today. It's a good day to just sit in the house and chill.
Yeah.
Light a fire. Read a book. Go back to the podcast page at hornfm.com and listen to this show if you missed any of it. The Longhorn Notebooks. Also listen to the Flex from last night with Snoop and the crew. Hopefully we get Craig back in here tomorrow. Vic Schaefer, Mike Roach, big show coming up tomorrow here on Light the Tower. For the absent Craig Way, for Snoop Daniel, I'm Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back tomorrow to Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.